No, Veal Blum is from Tonga. He comes here once a year. Blum. No, he has a university in Tonga.
Good evening. My name's Veal Blum. I teach at a tiny university in the Kingdom of Tonga in the South Pacific. And I visit Oregon every July, and tonight's the night.
More.
We have a couple of motor courts on the island of Tonga Tapu. And in the 50s, the fluorescent bulb came to Tonga. And they put the fluorescent bulbs on the exterior so the guests could find their way from the beach at night. And swarms of dragonflies made a beehive for these fluorescent bulbs, burned themselves to death, and fell into the mud. When I got there in the 1990s, the proprietors were noticing that the 10 o'clock group of dragonflies were burning themselves to death, but the 11 o'clock group would only circle for an hour and then move on. They asked me as a professor to explain this. I channeled to the tiny brain of a dragonfly intellectual, and this is what I heard. It's called Evolution of a Dragonfly in Tonga. It's a habit of my kind to hover over hot tubes until a singed wing drops us where spiders trawl. Fluorescent snares, I mean, clinging to the eaves of motor courts. It's suicide, my father warned, when the first bulb was found out of doors. It's our way, they said, to cross the limits by flying into light. Look, he told them, tradition is folly when it fails to note the changing landscape. Return to moonbeams or seek a darker destiny. How much time I have, but I only visit once a year, so I invoke the once a year from South Pacific clause. I've just completed a novella called Down Mind, whose premise is that with Prozac, severely depressed people can protect themselves from suicide by this wonder drug, but in a few instances things go awry and they project this terrible depression, which would have killed them through suicidal depression, but Prozac protects them, and they project it to the rest of the human race and bring everybody down, unfortunately, and we do stupid things.
Down mind, repeat it. Down
stupid
mind.
Things like we don't sign the Kyoto Treaty and we can't come up with the right euro currency, and all these things are symptoms of down mind.
A little more, Michael.
I will read you just a scene. Down Mind actually travels. It was first in the mind of a depressed Austrian novelist from 1929 to his suicide with his wife in 1942 in Brazil. And then it passes on to somebody of our own generation. And this is just a little genesis of Down Mind's appearance in 1968. I'll read until you cut me off, okay? But the tale begins in America, in a fashionable suburb of Boston, in the overture to spring. In the outskirts of Monroe, crocus along the highway, mock patches of snow in the shadow. 2 kilometers upriver lay the colonial buildings that housed Adams Hospital, a residential psychiatric clinic that only the rich could afford. This was not an asylum that referred the chronically ill to dungeons of the state. Its clients would not brook abandonment of their kin. Consequently, there was little talk of stabilizing psychiatric illness. Adams did not give up on patients and was willing to treat psychosis on a long-term basis. Yet despite its risky cargo, this ship evaded wreckage. No mass killing by an agitated patient slipped a handguard by a psychiatric aide. But there had been one incident. In 1968, a gaunt youth from Brooklyn was admitted in the height of summer. There was often tension with New York admissions, who seemed more desperate, more violent than others. A New Yorker appeared more likely to slit his wrist or overdose than a ski bum from New Hampshire babbling about demons. Upon admission, Morton Thon warned the nurse, the earth was falling into the sun. LSD was suspected, but the patient denied history. The librarian confirmed that, in fact, Nasser had reported orbital aberration that year, but correction was soon expected.
Love you.
Gives you a taste of downline. The reason we said kilometers is that this appeared in a New Zealand literary magazine. So thank you very much.
I call start an open mic in Tonga. Start an open mic in Tonga. That's all.
Okay, then you all charter a plane and you come for Portland night.
Is anyone driving an SUV with Texas plates?
Yeah.
It's blocking our driveway.
Oops.
Yeah. Did you do the announcement?
Go ahead, do the announcement.
Oh, no, he's it's his car.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, never mind. Hey, I'll do a quick announcement.
I'm Rob Gourley. I have a brief story in the form of a dramatic monologue, as if the speaker was an archer about 1125, deep in the Middle Ages. Anselmo of Seva wanted his horse saddled for exercise upon learning that his mistress had fled in dark of night. He checked the cinch and mounted the steed before reaching to grasp his tilting lance, and we followed proudly over the bridge. Our cavalier rode without angry haste, as if this was any dewy morning. Yet we archers knew, or presumed, his mind was vexed. Anselmo led along the Tanaro. We practiced stealthy walking, observing from the shadows his gallop of the meadow wedge and abrupt halting at precipice edge, where the water tumbled and fell, splashing into a rocky bowl below. There was nothing in the lower pasture, not even a goat. That's when it struck me. The maid sobbing. She took all but her hat. We forded the river at a riffle over a wide gravel of slippery stones and rested while the others came across. I handed my sire the flask of wine and told him she may have hired a cart to transport her trunk of gowns and sundries. I shan't fret that Veracruz city life. Our duty is to guard the Seva Bridge. We'll find other maidens to warm our beds. Besides, my sire went on, who can predict the battles which will engage us? Or where, come fall, our squad may be bivouacked? The archers were climbing out of the stream, and Anselmo's horse walked towards them. My sire joined their banter and jesting. We spoke not of his mistress after that, although market day a milseam trader said Vera had gone towards Torino. Midsummer, my sire found an old carver who crafted crossbow pieces sturdy and true. sire gave us 5 fine bows from that workshop. A family messenger disrupted the Piazza Bocce game one evening when enduring August heat had begun. And next day, our cavalier supplied horses on which we rode until we could take up a flanking position outside Alba. He told us to have sentries on lookout day and night for any reinforcements advancing our way whom we could ambush. 2 months encamped, and we had no battle. The Genoese force did not arrive to support Osti's threat against Alba. Nigh autumn's end, sire was titled Marquis and betrothed to strengthen Savoy ties. I became his envoy inside Alba. It was here, with a basket of truffles to sell, I encountered my Vera. She was warm, encouraging, and ample. Grazi, won't you have some more Barbera? Thank you.
Long time on Open Radio, Open Life, this poetry venue is very important. You take care of it. There's no free speech in America like this. See, I was born on the 4th of July, and I was possibly I was drunk, and I came here on the 4th, and it was closed down. Will you explain that to Melissa? No, don't worry about it.
We took the night off.
We took the night off. Okay. But don't take the night off. Don't take your brain off. Don't take your life off. If you don't communicate to these monsters, and they're monsters, don't even think about it, what do we got? So what we have, it comes from our souls and our hearts. I don't make judgments when people read. I mean, I think about it. Fine. Does that people know what the hell they're doing? I don't care. It's called self-expression. You know? And that's what this venue is about. So I'll do a little one, and it's not a lecture, but, you know, Blum, this crazy SOB, is in Tonga. Where the hell is Tonga? Who knows? Raise your hand. Where's Tonga? You don't even know it. Raise your hand. No one knows. Fine, thank you. I just won my argument, yeah. Anyway, okay, I won my argument, and he's doing a university. But you know, without self-expression, without real human beings being powerful, and Woody Guthrie, they don't know Woody Guthrie wrote 40 songs here in Portland, David, Millholm, Oregon Cultural Heritage. Okay, fine, okay. Okay. So I wrote this a number of years ago, and as I get older and I have to die, I'll do one more, but this I want to do this one. It was published in a magazine called Mississippi Mud Magazine. It was published by the Impossibilist. I mean, there's a history to small press, to self-expression. Never forget that. Protect it. So I call it Night of the Future. Well, we're in the future now. That was a long time ago. We're in the future now. Dogs bark in the distance. Night crickets are noisy. What are we to do? I came on this planet for a few friends to make them happy. So the sky is dark, and the soft, fruity darkness goes out beyond Jupiter. The few stars tell us
messages outside our ken. Ken means knowledge. The few stars tell us messages outside our knowledge, our closed system. We might live longer than we think we can if we are not selfish to generations of the future. It's for your future, it's not for mine. Otherwise, we die, even if we are alive. I'm going to repeat that last stanza. If we are not selfish to generations of the future, otherwise, we die spiritually. We die even if we are alive. Okay, I'm starting. I didn't mean to cry, but I'm saying, God damn it. Okay. Okay. We'll change the tenor of this. As far as I am an old man, I'm concerned about you. Every fucking white man, old woman, whoever. It's about your future. God damn it. I had a beautiful past, but I don't know. I'm worried about the future. So, okay, I get to do one more. So I'll change the tone. I don't know if I can do that. I guess I can. I can emotionally, possibly. I possibly can. So I'm going to try to do this. Okay. I don't have my glasses. I don't need my glasses. Okay. So my dad took care of me, and I took care of my dad. He had cancer. He's 65 years old. He had a double hernia. They had to put truss, and he had cancer in his guts. And I went to the hospital, and he said, "You can have the house." He said, "You can have the house. No, I'm bringing you back home, Dad." So I got him back home. Man, that was a rough one. And then we were there, and okay. So anyway, but in the 50s and 60s, we grew up on this shit. But you know, I don't know if the human race is feeling comfortable with itself, with all the pressures, the bullshit, the cell phones, all the rest of it. So, but I'm going to do this like a poem, like back then. You know, the young man, I love their natural. I think young males are an endangered species. The fucking cops put them in black and white, put them in fucking jail. Okay. So that's what I said. So I'll just read this poem. You know, it's from the past, but okay, I'll read it. And I grew up in the Willamette Valley, the greatest industrial valley in all of North America. Fine. Okay. Peaches. Okay. You know what a peach is. You've looked at it. Okay. I savor, and I'll get off the stage. I savor the flavor of summer's first fruit, sunripe, red turning to gold, and scrumptious from the tree. When I was 16 or 17, I'd watch with my blue-collar dad the Friday night Gillette Blue Blade fights on TV. He'd quip, "I think I'd better go get the cat and some cream," and so he could lick the peach fuzz off your face. So when an adolescent male grows up, they have a little, you know, okay, fine. Joking about my need for a first shave, not a fighter, I was quicker to spoon and tongue, going after peaches and cream, granules of sugar, after having, okay. That's what I was not a fighter. I ate the peaches and the cream. Okay. Now I'm almost done. After hitting hard work in the field, We teenage boys would go swimming in the nearby river, washing off the dust, hay chaff, and splashing water. I noted the wet trunks covering halves of a beautiful butt. How peachy keen my best friend was, joyously shaped, two round halves and smooth and a smooth cleft, the heft of which I wanted to hold in my hot hands. Yeah, we used to chew juicy fruit gum. Every summer I recall the past luscious fruit and first loves. I preach the peach.
I'm Alyssa Solito with Show and Tell Gallery. We have two more people signed up. There's a custom of going next door to the Tiger Bar. You're all invited. I might go get a double. I don't know. So coming up, number 14.
Okay, my name's Skylar Harrison, and this. What happens to my glorious mind when it gets amped and tampered? It's like word clobbering, slumbering. My brain is hemorrhaging. Sounds like hummingbird wings with tumbling turds that sing. Blah, blah, blah. Bowel movements, pollution with foul mouths that solve hard situations. But I get mad, so it's hard to place them words. But hey, today I'm not going to let the anger danger twist the chamber in, because anger is the downfall to all. I guess just try to be content in any position. Yeah, you get in. So we all need to laugh more. Howie! Then come out of our box so we can all prosper in the swift twirled world like a jerry curl. La 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 la, yeah. Hear the sheep go baa as it gives birth to a new life. People, when you kill something, it's gone or extinct permanently. But hey, in reality, it's like a big old galaxy, just still exploring. Teachers help inspire students. Be real open-minded. Don't be a strict wire. Classes need to be a happy place of good environment where kids don't drop out, where they like all the classes. I collage with paint blast, little splash on the paper to create what I want to create. I don't want to draw common stuff like draw this little orange or banana while I place it right here in front of you. No way, but hey, thanks for the free meal. That was a mouthful, juicy, tasty. Got some hors d'oeuvres? Hee, ha 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 ha. I'm a serious weirdy. Thank you all. You all been nice and jolly and friendly. Bye.
So I looked up this open mic on openmicportland.com, and I didn't realize that most people would do poetry here. And so I decided that I would, for this performance, I would read some poetry and then play you guys one song.
Play us a song, music.
I'll play you one song at the end. I'll make the poems really quick. Okay. So this is a song that I wrote when I smoked cigarettes a lot. Well, I'm just a fuzzy little cancer cell. But if you rub me in the wrong way, then I'll take you to hell. Oh, I'm just a fuzzy little cancer cell. And I may or may not be benign. Can you tell? Conceived by a cigarette that fucked your mouth. And all the bits of spooge that met your lungs down south. Now I'm just sitting here and getting strong. When I'm grown, I don't think that you're gonna last too long. Please don't stop. Please don't stop. Please don't stop smoking cigarettes. My brothers and my sisters, they haven't even been born yet. Please don't stop putting transmitters right next to your heads. If you do, I think it's likely we both might soon be dead. This is just one more verse, don't worry. Well, I'm just a fuzzy little lymphoma, but I'm raping your limp body like a nympho, man. And as soon as you get done with the therapy, I think we'll die together, you and me. You'll see. Okay, sorry about that one. I guess I have to apologize after every song I ever play. Okay, my next song is a prayer that I wrote a long time ago, and I had to write it down and carry it with me because I kind of forgot most of the words to it. So here goes my prayer. O porcelain God, so old and wise, we pray thee let not euphemize your lightning rumble, rain complete. We rest our holes upon your seat. We wait in honor for the flood that lifts us from these cleanly streets, to drink with joy your yellow blood and feast upon your holy mud. The sewer is your final tomb, a tomb of everlasting doom. So please be kind in the sewer when we climb in the sewer. Death be our fates in the sewer, and carnage be your will. Let carnage be your fill. In the name of the potty, the sewer, and the holy shit. I'm actually going to play you a more serious song. Shit. This is a song I wrote riding the train up to Portland. I'm gonna hop a train and watch the countryside. I wanna see the landscape changing as I roll on through my life. Ain't gonna hop off when the tracks are getting slick. I'm gonna ride her up to The past don't kill me first, I swear I'll die. Somewhere down along the other side. I'm gonna hop a train and ride it through the hail. If I'm lucky through the ice, we won't derail. Ain't gonna hop off when the snow is getting thick, oh no. I'm gonna ride it up to Portland if the snow don't kill me first, I swear I'll try dying somewhere under sunny skies. Lammy Waters, I will make it back to you before I do. Even if the last few miles I walk inside my mind, and here's that light you gave me, I will fuck the dark upright, then I will cry somewhere where the dark don't touch the sky. Somewhere down along the other side. Thank you.
An editor, I swear. You guys, thank you for being an audience tonight. I mean, thank you to those of you who performed and shared your art, but also I want to acknowledge people who just stuck around and, you know, made this the creative community that it is. This event really is a community event, and when you come and you support other artists, it you know, it continues that way. So I really wanted to say thank you to all of you. So next week, and this will be podcast at showandtellgallery.org. Also, there's a Facebook group for Show and Tell Gallery. So if you want to get like weekly invitations about what's going on, just search for Show and Tell Gallery. There's a fan page, but it's not kind of as interactive as the group. And you can also just put things up on the Show and Tell Gallery Facebook group too. So look for that if you're interested. Next week, Dave Jarecki and Creative Friends are going to be here for the earlier event. He's a writer and a poet. He's really good. It'll be a great event. And then we do the open mic. And I think that's it. Thank you all for sharing your art. Go to the bar. Yeah, my pleasure. Go to the bar if you want to, and we'll see who's hanging out. Have a good night.